I pray that I'd speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Paul is quite dense in some of his writings, I think, as we've spotted. In fact, I was just looking along the bookshelves at home and found a commentary on Romans. And I was looking at it and I thought, I don't recognise this at all. And I opened it up and it was very dense and I didn't think very badly written. And I just assumed that Jenny must have got it, you know, at some stage. Needless to say, neither of us will acknowledge ownership of this particular book. No, it's not mine, she said, and you know, it's not got my name in it either, so not quite sure where it's come, but it seems to emphasise, you know, if you're not careful, it looks as if it emphasises just how complex Paul can be. Because he is quite a dense writer. Nobody quite knows why the book of Romans was written. Paul's writing it, probably from Corinth, when he's gone there after his letters to Corinth. And it looks like maybe he was going to go on to Rome and therefore wanted to just give them a synopsis and the essence of his teaching to the Christians that were in Rome. And some people would also say that in Rome the majority of the Christians were Gentiles, not Jews. And some would say that Paul was writing to the Gentile Christians as well to tell them to have a bit more respect for the Jewish counterparts. But it's not clear. And shortly after Paul writes it, he heads off to Jerusalem where he gets arrested. He spends 2 years in prison at Caesarea and eventually does get to Rome, only it's in chains because it's when he's appealed to the emperor, being a Roman citizen, to have his trial in front of the emperor. So that's the only time he gets to Rome. So it's a complex book, and you know, theologians and lots of other biblical scholars have looked at it and tried to piece various things together. But the essence of Paul's teaching is quite simple, and it comes through loud and clear in all of his writings. And that is that belief and faith in the death and resurrection of Christ is the only way to acceptance by God. And he's spent some of the time in the previous chapters in Romans explaining that that's the case. So it's not about the law. It's not about adherence to the law. It's about faith in the death and the resurrection of Christ, which makes us as individuals acceptable to God. And he's gone through all of that. And he opens up today's passage by saying, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, a familiar phrase to many people. And what he's saying is, just as people were and felt condemned under the law, because they could never achieve what the law wanted them to, and therefore were condemned, in Christ there is no condemnation. And Paul goes on to explain, essentially, that in Christ has done what the law could never do. Christ has fulfilled that law. What has happened is, we see the law that told people how to live, but it never empowered them to do it. And in Jesus, we have that empowerment through the Spirit of the Father God who indwells in each one of us who profess Christ as Lord, empowers us to live that life. And that's what Paul is talking about, the difference that Christ has brought and the difference that that means, the fulfillment of the law that Christ brings and gives us that empowerment to live as God intended. Christ has achieved what the law could never achieve. And that was quite radical for the people that were hearing it. And it would be quite radical to some of the non-Christian people that would receive this letter in Rome and would hear this letter in Rome. Because the law was very clear. the law was very black and white. You knew where you stood with the law. You know, if you did this, 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 and this, you were in, and if you didn't, you were out. It was very clear. The kingdom of God in the law was a place. God's reign was a place. It was a kingdom. It was had geographical and political and social boundaries, and it was essentially the promised land of Israel. What Paul talks about is much more ambiguous than that. It's not the way of living is not a geographic place. It's not a nation state. It's about a relationship with God and acceptance by God. And that was hugely confusing to many of the people that were listening. It was, you know, this is now insecure. This is, the boundaries are changing. Because the kingdom of God and the relationship that Paul talks about and that Jesus talks about is a wonderful place, but it's much harder to define. And the boundaries were much more fluid than they'd ever been. It wasn't you go this far and then you're out. It was about a life that is transformed by the Spirit. And it's as if Paul is contrasting some sets of words. You know, he's got law, sin, and death. And he contrasts that with three words: Spirit, transformation, and life. And Paul is trying to make that very, very clear, that there is the contrast between the old way of the law, which is burdened by sin, and the law could never achieve what it set out to do because of the sinfulness of the humanity that tried to interpret it. And that's part of what Paul's saying in this passage, you know, that because of our inherent sinfulness, we can never achieve what the law intended. But through Christ and the Spirit that he leaves, our lives are transformed, and so we have life both now and in the future. So it gives the perspective not just of a renewed life for today, but that hope and the eternal life of the future. And that's what the essence of what Paul is talking about in the reading today, about that transformation that the Spirit living in each one of us has in our lives, both as we live them today and interact with the communities we live in, but the hope that it gives us for the future. But the boundaries are not easy to define all of the time. And just as the people in the early Christian church had to work with this shifting set of boundaries and understand how do we live out that faith where the boundaries are quite blurred and a bit fuzzy, so we today have to live in a world where many of the boundaries aren't as clear-cut as they once were, perhaps. Aren't as clear-cut, perhaps, as we would like. And the challenge that we have is, how do we apply our lives and our Christian faith into a world where the boundaries are changing? It's not that the truth of the gospel changes. You know, that truth remains as Paul has it, that faith in the death and resurrection of Christ is the only way to acceptance before God. That doesn't change. But how we interpret that, how we express that in a way that, in a society where the boundaries are constantly changing, does need reflection. Perhaps some of the old views that we had perhaps are now no longer valid. Perhaps we need to change our interpretation of how we express that love in today's world. If you just think of, you know, many of the things that are hitting the headlines are things that perhaps, you know, our mothers and fathers and grandfathers and earlier Christians didn't have to consider, didn't have to think about, you know, what's the Christian principle between, you know, a same-sex civil union. You know, they didn't have to think about how do we look after the planet in the same way as we do. The principles and the truth don't change. But the way that we apply it and the way that we share it does. If you think of the gospel of the sower and the reading we had from Matthew, and it does seem there are lots more simpler commentaries on Matthew than there are on Romans and Paul, but if you think of the profligate nature of the sower just throwing seed wherever, you know, why would you throw seed on a rocky ground? Why would you throw seed, you know, into the brambles? Part of what we're called to do, as we share that message, as we share that transformation in our lives that we have through the acknowledgement of the death and resurrection of Christ, as we share that in the world around, it's not our responsibility where we sow that seed in that sense. God calls us to share his love, calls us to share his word, and calls us to share that transformation that we have in our lives because of the indwelling of the Spirit with those who are around us, in the society in which we find ourselves, in the situations we find ourselves, where then you look into the Bible and it doesn't tell you what to do in a certain situation. It doesn't tell you how to respond. That's part of the freedom of the expression of our relationship with God, which we have in Christ, which was not there in the law. But we are called at all times to share that love and to share that transformation in a world with shifting boundaries, boundaries which we might not be comfortable with. But we're called to sow that seed so that wherever it falls, God, who is both the sower but also the nurturer of that seed, can bring to fruition that which he wants to bring to fruition. That's the kingdom that we're about. It's about sharing that word into the world so that all will have the access and the ability to enter into the kingdom of God that Paul talks about and that Jesus describes in these parables in Matthew. Lots of parables about the kingdom. And as we sow into a world which is far from certain, which doesn't have all the boundaries that the law would have, so God uses that, uses our actions and uses our words and can bless them and bring people into the kingdom. And just perhaps when we look around the kingdom in the future, we'll see, like Paul said to the Romans, some of the unlikeliest people will be there. Amen.